to revisit the words of St. Paul we just heard a few moments ago. Brothers and sisters, I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was handed over, took bread, and after he had given thanks, broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also the cup, after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." Because for the last 75 to 100 years, we've become a people very accustomed to being entertained, we have a growing problem, a growing danger in Christianity as a whole, in both Catholicism and even Protestant churches. Two things. It's the cult of personality and the cult of course, entertainment. You see this a lot in these huge mega churches where pastors are competing for large numbers of parishioners. All they can give you is a lot of glitz and glamour and good feeling. It's nice, but it's not essential. Sadly, in Catholic churches, you kind of see the same thing happening. We've got to make Mass, they say, relevant to the people. So we bring something that was God-given and try to water it down to where it's more accessible to the common person instead of educating our people and bringing the people of God closer to God through worship, sacred worship, noble worship. It's a very disturbing trend. And along with all that, too, one thing that really gets me is when I hear people say, "Well, I used to be Catholic," or "I used to go to church, but I stopped because I, quote, don't get anything out of going to church. I don't like to go to Mass because it's the same old things, the same thing over and over again." All right, I'll use an analogy. Let's use a football game. Okay? It's the same thing over and over again. Every game, every season, everything. Two teams, one ball, two goals. The two teams do what? They compete for the ball, they run for the goal, to do what? To score. Now, there might be varying degrees of how it's going to be done, but essentially it's the same thing, and it's always going to be the same outcome. One team wins, one team loses. Half go home happy, half go home sad. It's the same thing every time. But what is it about the game that appeals us? Because we like to see the drama going on. We like to see the action. We like all those things. But then what about a person who doesn't understand football? They're going to sit there and be bored for 2 hours. Bored to tears. And that's kind of the thing there, isn't it? It's understanding. I would guarantee you that if anybody says, "I don't get anything out of Mass," it's because that person does not understand what's happening here. And so we go back to what St. Paul said in his letter to the Corinthians. When we come into Mass, we're not just doing something as a ritual that's kind of a thing we do just for the sake of doing it. If we're a people of prayer, if we're a people of understanding, we're transported in time. We are there with Christ, with the apostles, as Jesus preaches the word, as we listen to the Gospels. We are there with Christ, with the apostles, around the table of the Last Supper. You have to see this with the eyes of faith, to be able to see in that host that's lifted up and the chalice that's lifted up, Christ being lifted up before your very eyes on the cross, his blood being shed for you at that very moment. And then there's that beautiful part where Jesus is going to rise from the dead as you come to receive the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, and you are receiving the resurrected Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity. He's there. Just like those two disciples as they were going from Jerusalem to Emmaus after the resurrection, and they didn't recognize the resurrected Christ until what point? Until Jesus had taken bread, blessed it, and broke it, then disappeared from their sight, and then the disciples realized who it was. And they said, "We have come to recognize him in the breaking of the bread." Now, don't tell me that if you come to Mass and receive the Eucharist, that you didn't receive anything and got anything. You did. You just didn't know it. And whose fault is that? If we don't pray, if we don't take time to think, if all we do is come to Mass to sit back and say and be better entertained, well, then there's not much you're going to get out of Mass, is there? Or if you come and look around at everybody else, and we know people like that. They can't tell you what the readings were about or what the priest said, but they know who was at Mass and who wasn't and what they were wearing. It happens all the time. But when it comes to Mass, why? Why do we do this? Because Christ said, "Do this in memory of me." He didn't say, think up some kind of cute little liturgy or paraliturgy. He didn't say, think up a nice prayer service with all kinds of music and pump everybody up. God has the right to tell us how he wants to be worshipped. He does. And he did. Five books of the Old Testament are complete about that, of how God wants to be obeyed and how God wants to be worshipped. And he said, you don't change anything. You do it as I said. And so for 2,000 years, we've done the very same thing. As Jesus said, do this in memory of me, we have done exactly what he said. And we see it from the very beginning in the Acts of the Apostles as they gather together for what? The breaking of bread and prayer to receive the Eucharist. Jesus in this sacrament gives us the very gift of himself. When he was speaking about what he was going to do in John chapter 6, the Jews said to him, give us a sign. Moses gave us a sign. He gave us manna in the desert, this bread that came down from heaven, sustained our forefathers as they wandered for 40 years. And Jesus responded to that by saying, the sign that I will give you, the only sign I will give you, is my flesh for the life of the world. And he says something disturbing to them, which we understand completely. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, then you have no life within you. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I remain in him or her. And then the Jews quarrel among themselves, saying, how is he going to do this? How can he give us his flesh to eat? And many disciples walked away that day because they didn't understand. They weren't patient. They wanted an answer, and they wanted something now. But Jesus took his time. And at the Last Supper with his apostles, he gave them the bread, saying, take and eat. This is my body. Take this, all of you, and drink of it. This is my blood. And then they understood. Do this, Jesus says, in memory of me. At that moment, Jesus gives the power to do this to the apostles, to carry on this great mystery. So these 3 days, Holy Thursday, Good Friday, Holy Saturday, is actually one great event that we get to participate in every time we come to Mass. Whether it's on a weekday or a weekend, whether it's a high Mass or a low Mass, whether it's in English, French, or Latin, makes no difference. The Mass is the Mass when celebrated with the heart and the mind of Christ, the heart and mind of the Church. It's a time that Jesus gave the apostles and gives us the ability to be able to offer to the Father the sacrifice of the Son. That's what we're doing. We offer to God the Father the sacrifice of the Son on Calvary. And with Christ, we offer ourselves. We offer ourselves, our lives. We offer up our hopes. We offer up our dreams. We offer up our troubles, our sins. We offer everything to God. And in return, he gives us life, eternal life, mercy and forgiveness, in the body, blood, soul, divinity, the divine presence of his Son. Life, mercy, and forgiveness in return. And all you need is a priest. That's the second part of the Last Supper. Jesus knew that. He was going to ascend into heaven to his Father, but he gave his apostles the power to continue his work on earth until he would return. And it can be any priest. You know, we've gotten very spoiled, very accustomed to having several priests. We've got five of us in the Vilblatt, Father Gilroy and myself, Father Vidrine, Father Harrington, and the elder Father Vidrine. But lots of us. But what if we lived in Mexico, in a remote village, where we only saw a priest once a month or every 6 weeks, if we were lucky, if he didn't get sick. We're used to that. But any priest who is validly ordained can consecrate the Eucharist and bring us to Christ, Christ to us, to forgive our sins, to bring us to life. In our misunderstanding, we all, because we're human, like to say that. Well, I prefer a priest who is a better preacher. Well, anybody would, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to receive the Word of God. It's there. Like better preachers, or a priest who's a better singer, or a priest who's better looking. I mean, those little things are good. But it's all unnecessary. Why? Because unlike in other churches where everything depends on the preacher, the Mass does not depend on the priest. Because when I say, this is my flesh, this is my blood, this is my body, this is my blood, it's not Mitchell Guidry or Brad Gilray or Richard Vedrine or Jason Vedrine or Brian Harrington or any priest. It's Christ who's working in us and through us. The Mass depends on Christ. And that's where the focus lies. So whether the priest is old or young, whether he is handsome or not, whether he has got a heavy accent from a foreign country or he is one of us native born, makes no difference. The fact that he is a priest means that Christ is in him through ordination, and it's Christ who offers himself to you and to me. That's where the focus lies. Look at the apostles. Every one of them different. All of them different. But one priesthood, one ministerial priesthood, passed on by the church through the apostles' successors, the bishops, to the priests. That's the great sign that Jesus gave. It's a sign of wonder. It's a sign of unity. That's the sign of Christ. The sacrament of unity. The sacrament of unity. Not a cult of entertainment. Not a cult of personality. But a sacrament of unity and a sacrament of salvation. A conferral of a priesthood. And that, my brothers and sisters, is where we see in this broken body of Christ, this poured out blood of Christ, that we live in Christ. We live in Christ as he lives in us. And that through this great Eucharist, through this great sacrament, we become a people who are made holy, one body, one spirit, the Church of Jesus Christ, his body on earth.